Welcome to Business Development, the internal podcast by Voestalpine Railway Systems. Welcome back to our Business Development podcast series. This is your host, Stephanie Prosin, and in this episode, we are celebrating a major milestone and a well-deserved recognition. Because at the executive conference, the Rail Baltica project was honored with the Business Development Success Story Award, and rightly so. It marks the largest contract in our company's history and stands as a powerful example of strategic collaboration across countries, profit centers, and subsidiaries. Therefore, I am joined today by Mr. Marc de Vries, Regional CEO, Europe North, who played a key role in this achievement. We will talk about the scope of the project, what exactly was won, and the success factors that made it possible. First of all, congratulations again. Has the award already found a good place?
Thank you, Stephanie. And yes, the award has found a good place. And of course, we have to think about a road trip for the award, because the award was not just a recognition for the efforts I put in the project, but we all put in as Railway Systems, and all the many colleagues throughout all the different countries, of course, need to also look at the award and have a share on this award success.
And that totally has to be celebrated. I agree. Now let's move from the award to the project itself. For those who haven't heard of it yet, what is Rail Baltica? Can you give us a short introduction to the project and its strategic importance? So, which countries are involved and what is the broader vision behind Rail Baltica?
So, yes, of course, I can give you an overview on the project. So, Rail Baltica is a project which runs through the Baltic states, Lithuania, Latvia, and Estonia in Europe. And the background on the Baltic states is, till the 1990s, the Baltic states were part of the Russian Federation. And the Russian Federation typically uses a 15-20 gauge network. So actually, the network in these countries are all based on 15-20 gauge. Since 2004, the Baltic states are part of the European Union and, of course, would like to also connect to the European network, which is a 14-35 gauge network. So the Rail Baltica project actually is all about constructing a new railway line connecting Warsaw, Poland, all the way through the three Baltic states to Tallinn, Estonia, with a 14-35 gauge network.
And that gives us already a good overview about Rail Baltica. Now let's talk about what exactly did Voestalpine Railway Systems win in this project?
Yes, so to construct the 14-35 railway network, you need all the equipment you can imagine. We talk about 870 kilometers of double track connecting all those countries and cities. And therefore, Rail Baltica has erected an organization which needed to guide all the tenders for the materials needed and also the construction works needed to build the line. For Voestalpine, that, of course, means in our core competencies, tenders on rail, tenders on turnouts and other signaling components. And in this case, in this project where we talk about today, we are talking about the tender and the successful tender conclusion of the turnout systems and rail expansion devices.
As you mentioned, it's all about huge tenders. To fully understand this scale, why is this considered the largest contract in company history? Can you share some figures or scope details?
Yes, of course. So the tender for the turnouts and expansion devices actually was split in three big lots. Lot one is, and maybe just also to add this to the project details, is a high-speed network, high speed up to 250 kilometers per hour operation speed, a 300 kilometers per hour design speed, requires, of course, high-speed turnouts. So that's lot number one, which consists roughly 530 turnouts on high speed. We have in lot two, the standard turnouts for lower speeds, or actually the you can imagine the station areas or also the shunting areas. Lower speed turnouts in lot two of roughly 600 pieces of turnouts. And throughout the line of the 870 kilometers, you will see a lot of bridges, tunnels, and other special constructions, which require rail expansion devices to compensate temperature differences in the track, as we know, And in total, Lot 3 concludes 250, roughly, expansion devices to be delivered under that contract. So in addition to explain a little bit more about the wishes of the Rebaltica line, it's going to be a mixed traffic line. So for commuter and freight transport with commuter speeds up to 250 operational speed kilometers per hour with a design speed of 300. So really a high speed line, but also able to support freight traffic over the line on the 1435 gauge based on the European standards with an axle load up to 25 tons. So this is quite a challenge. And therefore, that was also the main condition for the tender, that all the products that have to be supplied need to also adhere to these specifications. About the financial figures, to add a little bit more, we talk about roughly contract value for all the three lots for 450 million euros that we have offered RailBaltica, of course, split in three lots. And that's one of the, I would say, bigger numbers, which were quite a challenge for us as a group, but of course, a highlight in the whole project.
And that is quite a sum. Let's take a closer look at what made this even possible. What would you say were the key success factors that led to winning this project?
Yeah, well, it all comes down to, I would say, perfect cooperation. You can imagine the requirements from the RailBaltica project were in a way that actually they asked for all the technical elements we can offer as First Opinion, so not just turnouts, but also turnout diagnostics, for example. They wanted to have heating systems already installed with not just the heating systems themselves, but also the weather stations to steer this heating system. They wanted to have the object controller with the Eulings interface already equipped within the turnout system, so in the scope for us as turnout supplier. So it's not just the turnout with point machines and locking devices, which is typically a core business we sell all over the world, but moreover, all the additional systems they need and the software platforms, also including our Zentrack platform for asset management, as one package from one supplier, which made the project very complex. And one of the main drivers, which I believe is our key success factor, is the cooperation of our group, as we have worked very intensively together as a group with multi-level companies from signaling, from turnout companies, but also for the central organization helping us building the right portfolio, but also making sure we are meeting the requirements and also needs of the customer throughout the whole tender process.
So speaking of the success factors, as you emphasized, the collaboration between the different profit centers and subsidiaries definitely contributed to this win. Are there any other success factors additionally to, of course, the collaboration, which is the base for the success of a project?
Absolutely. I think one of the main elements as well is we really put a lot of effort into understand the customer. So we really try to understand what is the need and also what are the different, I would say, difficulties within such a project. Because as I mentioned before, we talk about a new rail connection in three Baltic states. So you have three countries with three own network operators joining forces together to build a mutual line financed by the European Union. So there are many different stakeholders, many different, I would say, needs, wants, wishes that needs to be adhered to. So what we did was really to understand what are the needs and demands of the project on the different levels, on the central organization level, but also what does it mean for the local network operators? What does it mean for the key players in this project? So we really tried to understand this, and also during the tender process, we also try to understand the needs and also the clear feedback from, for example, technical managers from RailBaltica or from the purchasing process department. So how they shaped the landscape about the tender. So we really try to understand this and to feedback this in the organization to adapt accordingly to make sure we are meeting their expectations on those areas where they have signaled special needs. And that was one of the things I would say is also absolutely a success factor. It's not just thinking from our own perspective, but really understanding the customer's need and to transfer that into our offer.
And this, of course, means a lot of preparation in advance, or it involves a lot of preparation. How exactly would you say were the teams and the organization preparing for the project? How exactly was all of this approached?
Yeah, exactly. So That needs, of course, a fully different approach that typically we see, because in this case, also what I mentioned with the multi-level of organization, we need it from out of our own organization with different signaling companies from Austria, Germany, Poland, but also UK, but other also Turnout factories like Turnout Technology Zeltweg contributing very importantly. Turnout Technology Germany contributing very importantly, and also our local companies, Lithuania and Latvian branch offices, that were really instrumental in offering this tender. It needed a clear, I would say, railway systems organization and a clear approach on how we would work together as a project team. So what we did, we set up a landscape with a clear organizational structure, with clear lead responsibilities on different sub areas to make sure that everybody knew who was in lead of this deliverable, and making sure we also added there the right resources. So making sure people were available to support the project. And we know these projects, especially tender projects, are always alongside of the daily business. So you have to find, let's say, the time and the resources to really support such a project. And of course, it meant sometimes very long days, very short nights of work, because we had to deliver the deliverables on time, but especially making it clear to have a project organization landscape in place, having the governance structure in place with the team meetings, your weekly meetings, your monthly meetings, and also the steering committee, for example, with, I would say, stakeholders like the profit centers, but also the organization of railway systems with the board of railway system management to make sure everybody is aligned and aware about the needs and the deadlines we have to meet to get this mutual success delivered.
So as I just heard, very long days were definitely needed to achieve all of this, and preparation was key. This means there were some challenges involved as well. From the moment you first heard about Rail Baltica until the contract was won, were there any other major challenges besides time management? And how did you and your team overcome them?
Absolutely. One of the things is also quite a thing, which is always a discussion internally, is making sure we are all agreeing on how we calculate such an offer. As I said before, with all the multiple companies involved, what kind of markups do we use? How do we make, I would say, a competitive offer from railway systems, and not just from the individual companies, but really as a group company, a group of companies as a whole, as railway systems. So therefore, we also agreed upon, I would say, a competitive calculation principle to also agree upon how do we handle each other's subsystems in the calculations. So no unnecessary markups, for example. But also really openly discuss about how the risk profile, how do we manage the risks? So what kind of risk do you see from out of your perspective? And how do we then mitigate that in the project pricing to prevent that everybody is adding margin just to prevent their own risks and therefore actually coming in till the end with an incompetitive offer? So that was one of the elements which was very important. But also was the project took quite some time. The initial tender started in 2021. With the pre-qualification phase. And it was quite a challenging pre-qualification phase and needed a lot of attention from a lot of different companies to show our competence as a group, because, of course, we are very competent. But if the customer then asks us, please show your competence, then it's really coming down to the details. And therefore, a lot of work had been delivered in 21 to achieve this qualification milestone and to show Rail Baltica that we are able to really offer what they need as a system solutions provider. And coming back then to the bidding phase, which started then officially in 2023, which took 2 years, including the negotiation phase, going into down into the depth and the details of the offer to really also check all the boxes of the customer's wants and needs, making sure all the deliverables the customers wanted in our bid is also relayed into the bid. So because we can say we are compliant, but how do you prove you are compliant? And that was one of the elements that we had to learn also actually on the during the process, that a lot of things we thought was actually logical was not logical and was not relayed in the bid. So therefore, we really had to do our homework again to make sure that we showed the customer that we are meeting their requirements and how we did it.
I mean, this is how you successfully did it for Rail Baltica. And based on this experience now, What advice would you give to other business development teams who are preparing and working on complex projects?
So that advice I would like to give, and I think sometimes it sounds really easy, but it's all coming down to the details, is make sure you have a 360-degree angle on the project at hand. That means understand your customer, but also understand your competition. So what we also did, we invested quite heavily a lot of time to understand what could our competitor offer in this bid, in the requirements of the Rail Baltica project as systems, and how do we compete with them? So where are we stronger? Where are we weaker? How should we really position ourselves with that bid with our portfolio? So really trying to make sure that we have transparency on what we could expect from the competition. That was one element. The second element was focusing on the customer needs and wants. So the feedback we received from the customer was instrumental in making sure we checked the boxes and all those compliance questions and also the deliverables that were asked. And I can just say a very interesting example is the initial bid we offered. We offered with the qualitative criteria, and typically network operators have the pricing and they have qualitative criteria. You had to adhere and check the boxes and you get points for. And when we offered that, everybody said, well, we have maximum points. That's first opinion, we'll get maximum points. That's for sure, because we are the best and we have everything covered. We got the feedback, we only got half the points. So we missed half the points in the initial round because They understood we could, but we didn't show them how we did it. And therefore, we also had to learn that sometimes we think about the customer knows us, or the customer knows our portfolio, or we are experienced and we have such a reference. So yes, sure, we have great references in high speed. We are the high speed expert of the world. But it does not mean that we can rely on that alone from the reputation. We have to then show the customer, if you ask us, how do you safeguard certain elements, that we also then show them how we safeguard the elements on the technical detail. And that was one of the things we had to really improve during the negotiation phase. And in the end, we had 97% of the points awarded there. So that was really, really a great success. And that was one of the things we also learned. Make sure that you really understand the customer needs and put that back in your offer. What also very important, maybe also the keeping track on the deliverables as well, also the deadlines. Because what you also know, you can imagine if you have to offer, and just to give you some numbers, we made a bid which almost consists of almost 1,000 pages of information. So we made an offer to Rail Baltica with 1,000 pages. And that contains a lot of information, but also making sure and keeping track on the deliverables, that this information is also then ready in time to be able to be reviewed by somebody else. Because if person A is writing something, you need a person B to read it again. And you then also find, let's say, there's a need for rework. So you need the time before the bid is handed in that you have all those things ready already. And I must say, that's why I said about long days and short nights. That sometimes comes down really on weekends to read a lot of paper. But that was one of the things, should not underestimate the need also to review your bid when you think you're ready. My experience was there was a lot of rework still to be done.
Well, thank you for all the insights on that and for this great advice in general. And I think that, again, underscores the importance of, first of all, time management again, but especially collaboration and structured business development in general, if I can say it like that. Before we come to the final question now, what do you think characterizes successful business development, and what role does an OS2C play in this?
Yeah, first off, it's all about teamwork. It's all about teamwork, I must say. And I think this success, that's why I said the success is really a railway system success, because every profit center, every company which was involved really proactively worked together with us to deliver the needed deliverables, making sure we met the deadlines, and also really worked transparently, because that was also one of the prerequisites to work transparently together. And also show your capabilities, but also your incapabilities. If you are in trouble, not to sit too long and wait too long to escalate if things are not working. But so for me, what was important was really the cooperation within the team of the broader team of railway systems. I think in total over 50 people worked on the bid of railway systems. So you can imagine, and that's from profit centers to central organizations, local entities. So it was really, I would say, a joint effort and a joint success.
And that has to be coordinated in some way. And I think that is where the OS2C comes into play.
Exactly. So that was one of my, I would say, main tasks, is to make sure that we are aligned as a group, to make sure that everybody understands the necessities and also the time frames at hand, to get the buy-in within the organization, to make sure everybody is aware about the project, but also keep the information flow going. Not overdo it, so no overkill, but making sure the right governance structure is in place. So the focus we had, and I must also say my colleague Mario Rosnak also and Gerard Konrad, we worked very proactively to making sure that we work as a team together, but we also created, I would say, the governance structure to do so with the team meetings, with the also the agreements, for example, about calculations, how do you price things internally, making sure that we are not running into problems which would prevent us to bid that project as we did.
All right, and now to wrap this episode up. And that may be the hardest question of them all. If you had to summarize this success in one sentence, what would it be?
I would summarize it as a true example of a first opinion railway systems project success. We have offered system solutions to Rail Baltica we've never offered before, including technologies we've never produced before, like the object controller with Eulings interface, which for me is really a true railway system success story. So that would be my summary.
Perfect. Thank you very much for sharing the story behind this incredible success. Rail Baltica is more than just a project. It's a symbol of what we can achieve when we align strategically and collaborate across borders. To everyone listening, we hope this episode gave you valuable insights into business development and the power of collaboration. Also, if you want to share your success story on another episode, please get in touch with us. And that being said, let's keep building on these successes. One project, one partnership, and one opportunity at a time.